So as we move through this summer, we're exploring what it means to live a life of worship, in prayer, on mission, with generosity, because we believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're in the heart of a worship section of that right now, and we're talking and discussing about when we come to Sunday mornings, what it means to be part of a worship service, what it means to open our hearts to be here in the presence of God, fully and completely opening our hearts and surrendering ourselves to His presence, to hear His truth, to let it change our hearts, to be prayerful day in and day out, to open up our minds to be challenged by the words that He shares with us through the sermon. And today we're going to start moving a little bit into some of the things that we do within the service on Sunday mornings. And today I wish it was a little bit sunnier out, because it would make the topic a little bit brighter, but we're going to be dealing with the concept of offering as worship, to come before our God and to give up offering. And I know this is a third rail or a hot topic inside the church. And, you know, I was going to get up and joke a little bit about needing a $54 million jet to do ministry, because it's been in the news so much lately. But that's the problem, is there's been so much misconstrued and so much abuse of this topic that we as a church have deafened our ears to it. In fact, I guarantee you, just because we're talking about the offering, some of you will shut down today. And I've prayed hard all week long, and I hope that you've prayed to receive the message that God's going to deliver today in this, that it won't fall upon deaf ears today. Not because I want to see our budget increase, but because I want to see you in a place where you're truly being in worship as you offer God the things that He has blessed us with. Because that's truly what it stands for. That's what the whole purpose was today. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6 today, verses 19 through 21 are the highlights, and obviously we'll be talking about a few others as we go through it. But I want to share with you an opportunity to think on this subject. We talked today a little bit about how God gives us all things, not just our air that we breathe, but the very intelligence that we carry with us, the very ability to have a relationship that's strong, that supports us as we move through a difficult time, all the things that you can't put a price tag to. We've all seen the credit card commercials, you know, baseball tickets, $55, hot dogs, $18, 3 hours with your son giggling and laughing, priceless. Those are the things that we wish to honor God in, is the things that are priceless. But we also live in America, and we understand there's a cost to all things. But God doesn't care about that. What God cares about is that we honor Him first and foremost in all things. The second part of it is God understands the static that all that other stuff puts into our lives and keeps us from truly opening our hearts and being worshipful in all that we do, whether it's sharing and spending time with other people as sacrifice to other things, whether it's putting up a room in your house for someone who's in need, or bringing food to a person who's in need, or whether it's bringing an offering so that the church can truly be the light in the community that it supports and that it's part of. Those are all things that when we do in a worshipful way, when we place our hearts in a place to be heard and seen by God and be challenged and changed by God in that moment, becomes worship. And this is where we're at. That's what we challenge ourselves with prayer, was to be in a place where we're truly worshipful in our prayer, not just contractual, please God give me this or thank you for bringing this, but to truly worship Him for who He was and is and will be for all times. We challenged about the sermon that you're not just here to receive a word, but you're here to be challenged, empowered, encouraged, and strengthened by God through His word, that whoever stands up here may deliver, whether it's me or someone else as they come through, to put past our pettiness of, oh, we like how that person presents and we don't care for how that person presents, but more so, God, what is your word and what do you want me to do with it? How do you want it to affect my life? In our music, we don't just get up here and sing because it makes us feel good, but it places us in an environment that allows us to be before the altar of God. This is worship, and so when we offer and we take up an offering, we need to have our heart in a place to be truly worshipful. And we're going to talk about that now. So please turn to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. This is Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount. The entire chapter 6, he's talking about being worshipful in life and all that we do to not take glory from God, but to give glory to God inside of it. And in verse 19, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we open our hearts to you. For we wish, we hope that our hearts are in you, that is where we place them. Not in all the other things that may take place day in and day out, but truly rooted in you, God. Let's hear this message. Let's be changed by it. For God, we truly want to be yours. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to ask that you take today's message in context with the rest of the series. Like I said, if you've missed them in the summer, we will be in a series. We are moving through this concept of living a life of worship in prayer, on mission, with generosity, because we believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to walk through what each of those parts means and what that looks like in our daily life so that we can apply it in a way that truly honors and glorifies God. And so I'm going to ask that you don't take this out of context, that we are truly talking about worship as we move through this. And the offering in each and every church is taken in different ways. Some plastic plates, others have boxes, others have places on the platform that you can come up and put it. Others do it 100% away from the church through the internet and through checks being sent to the church office and things of that nature. How we take up an offering means absolutely nothing. But where our heart is in that offering means everything. And that's what he's saying here. What he's saying is that when you come before the Lord completely and fully, and you surrender yourself and you place your heart, that treasure becomes God. But if you hold back and you save back and you aren't sacrificial in all of your giving of heart, in worship, then you're just setting up things that can be destroyed as you go through. See, the common world wisdom in this subject right now, in today's American way, this sounds complete idiocy. And I understand that. Because we're told, build up your kingdom. How many people watch at least 15 to 20 minutes of TV a day? At least, right? Most of us are probably, the average right now is 2 hours a day. Younger people, it's over that. Older people, it's a little bit less. But the average in America, that we take in about 2 hours of TV a day. How many people sit on internet for at least an hour a day, Facebook? Maybe, kind of. It depends on the day, right? Depends how busy we are. But, you know, those feeds and everything. You know how much advertising you are subjected to day in and day out? Almost 50% of all the time that you spend on any type of media is advertising one way or another. We live in a consumer environment. And it's very easy to get wrapped up into it. We become the resource that the product so that they can earn money becomes. And that's what God's warning us about. He says, listen, if you buy all this really nice stuff, and okay, let me give a caveat. I am one who says if you're going to go buy something that's good that will last, so you don't have to buy it 15 times. That's not what we're talking about here. But if your goal in life is to be a consumer of everything that they put in front of you, I can tell you that your heart, where you lay your treasure, is not in God. Because God doesn't care about any of it because he realizes none of it is eternal. The really nice car you buy tomorrow will be the really old one you're complaining about in 5 years because it's breaking down. Rust will take its toll, and it won't look as pretty as when you got it. If you have kids, you'll have scratches and dents that you can't even explain because, you know, a bike has run into it at some point in life. The house that you're in today, even if it was brand new built, And 15 to 20 years will be the bane of your existence because you have to spend every waking moment fixing a roof or something for a while. See, everything that's material, everything that the world tells us is so important in our lives that we pour so much time and effort and resource into will fail and fall away at some point in your life. But we sold ourselves a lie saying that's what's important, and God's trying to remind us that none of it matters because none of it truly builds up an eternal reward for you. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What he's saying is that when you come into the existence of material, that is where your heart is, and that's where your treasure is, and that's where all you want to do is spend your time at it. And suddenly you're not talking to God, you're not experiencing God, you're not living in godly moments because you're too busy taking care of the material things that have been placed between you and God. Remember, we talked about building that wall, that structure that keeps us from truly offering our hearts to God, and it can be done in many different ways. But the fact of it is as humans, we're really good at building up brick walls. What he's trying to tell us is that even though we may seem to be pursuing something that is good, we may be developing a brick wall in the process of doing so. So what is this concept of the offering being worship? It starts way back in Genesis. If you would like to follow with me, Genesis 14, verses 19 through 20, we read, "And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand," and he gave him a tithe of all. So what we have here is Abram has just been victorious. His enemies have been subdued, and he's been given the spoils of his victory, and what he immediately does is he gives a tithe or a tenth of it all. Now, we're not talking, we handle that in checking the waters about what's the difference between offering and tithe and all those things, and that's not what we're talking about because we're really concentrating on the sense of worship at this point. But in relation to that, what we have here is Abram offers up in an act of worship to God for the blessing that he has received and the victory over his enemies, he offers up a tenth. He gives an offering of what his victory or what his spoils were back onto God because he understands that only through God did he receive this victory. And in that moment, his heart says, this is a good and worshipful thing to do. And so he gives back that tithe, that offering of what he has taken in victory back onto God. But all too often, we sit there and say, that's my accomplishment. I did that. I earned that. Who is it to say that I don't deserve every last bit of it? See, that's what Jesus is saying. Where you put up your treasure, your pride in earning that or taking that victory or whatever, really shows where your heart truly is at. If you ever have a question, look at athletes. We see it all the time, and we don't even think about it half the time. We see them get into the end zone, right, and they spike the ball, and they do the little dance, and they get together, and they celebrate the victory that they have. And we sit there, and they get the yellow flag for excessive celebration. I don't remember what the term is. I think it's excessive celebration. And then we see those who run in and they get the touchdown and they stay solemn. They hit the knee and they point to the sky. They look up. You can see them mumble a quick prayer, whatever that prayer may be. And they get up and they go back to the huddle. And yeah, they may do a little bit of congratulating as they move back to the sideline. See, there's a sense of when you give glory to where glory is for what has happened in your life, it's moving, it's powerful. Think about every day as a police officer, I'd walk out and put my hand on my squad and just ask for God's protection over me and my fellow deputies of that day. I didn't make a big stink out of it. I didn't do anything, but I wanted to offer him that day. I wanted to give him the glory for that day. I wanted to ask him to make sure his presence was found in that day, that it would shine through in all that day. See, because when we place our heart and our treasure in the Lord, then we're in relationship with him. I could have easily gotten into that squad car full of computers and weapons and all sorts of different types of equipment to do the job and sat there and said, today I'm going to get the job done. Today I'm going to make the world a better place. And try to take that credit and build up that treasure here on earth. But the fact of it is, that day would have been for naught because the next day would have came and it would have been forgotten. And there would have been no change or no good brought into it through Christ. So each and every day we need to place up our offering of those things that he has given us, our time, our resources, our money, everything that we have that opportunity to give back to God in worship. We need to make sure that we are doing so diligently, completely and fully. In Genesis 28 verses 20 through 22, we see another example of this. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." So what Jacob is doing is he's doing what Abraham had started. He's saying, it is worthy that what God gives me, I give back some to him. As an offering to understand that it is through God and only God that I receive what I receive, and therefore I want to give thanks and I want to worship him in an offering. And in their time, that offering would have been the food that they could have put into the mouths of their children. It would have been the sheep that they would have been able to glean fabrics and stuff off of as time went. It would have been those things that were direly needed, that would have been easy to set aside and just sat there and said, "Hey, we're not going to give any of it to God because we have a need for all of it." But in that moment, the glory to God, the worship, the placing our heart in God would have all been lost. But it also speaks to another understanding. We see it a little bit earlier. If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. What he's saying here, what Jacob is making a vow, is that if God, you continue to provide for me daily as you have to this point, I will surely and gladly offer up to you what has already been yours. See, we get too wrapped up all too often in the sense that what we have is ours, when truly it started as God's and he gifted it to us. Have you ever gone hungry? I mean, like really hungry. Days on end, no food, hungry. If not, then God has always provided. If you have and you no longer are, you can see the truth of what it means to have provision brought in through the offering. See, the tithe, the initial tithe that became the legalistic side that we draw such an affinity of hatred towards in the church nowadays, was truly a way of the theocratic government, i.e. the church ran the community. It was a way for them, no different than the taxes that we pay, to provide for the poor, those who didn't have housing, all the different things. The church was responsible for that. We see that time and time again. Feed and care for your widows. House the orphan. Care for the sick, right? We see this throughout Scripture time and time again. And that was what the original tithe became the legalistic side into, was to be that provision for the need. Why? Because the people had stopped offering up God their true heart and weren't doing it themselves. So those in charge had to make it happen. We're no different in this day and age. The church is meant to be the light of this world, but it needs the resource to be that, to care for the sick, to care for those who are orphaned and widowed, to be that. It needs the provision to be able to do that, and God provides that through the offering. But if we hold back and we don't truly give as God has asked us to give with a joyful heart, then God's work can't be done to the fullest of what God's intent was in the first place. Jacob here understands that our provision, our daily provision, is given through God, by God, to us. And he gives in great joy back because he understands that without God, he'd be in a lot worse shape than with God. And so he's willing to give thanks in this way of offering. But see, we have a disease in America. We are self-driven, we're kind of prideful some days, and we don't even realize it. But I don't mind pointing it out every once in a while, because we have a community that is in need every day of the spiritual blessings that God has. And off of no skin off of our back or no difficulty, we don't even share that word of hope of Jesus Christ with those people who are in that need most of the time. We just continue to walk by and let them sit in spiritual darkness. See, it's more than just an offering of our materials or our money, but it's an offering of our heart. It's an offering of our time. It's an offering of all things that we have. If you move back to the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, we see a beautiful example of what it means to be sacrificial in our offering. Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. A lot of you will have titled the two pennies, the widow's offering. Simply reads, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites," about two pennies, roughly, give or take a little bit in today's time, "which make a quadrans. And so he called his disciples to himself, and he said to them, 'It's surely, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" What Jesus is pointing out to his disciples is it's not the amount that you give. It's the heart that you give it with. Is it sacrificial? Is it in a place where you are placing yourself in true worship of God and accepting that he will provide, even if you don't understand how? This woman, when they say gives out of her poverty the wholeness of what she has, that was probably her day's food or who knows how long. But for what she understands of God and the thankfulness she has with God's provision in her life, she's willing to give this to the treasury. And i.e., this is a box that would sit in front of the temple and you would just drop your offering in as you'd go in. And people would drop big heavy things of money in there and make a lot of noise because it had an amplifier. I mean, this is where we're at in the historical moment. It was all about self-pride and the legalism and the proving to check the boxes and keep up with the Joneses inside a lot of Israel. And he says, you know, these two things that people were probably scoffing at and sitting there saying, "What is that? Why even bother? It's not worth anything." But her heart was where it needed to be, and Jesus recognized that and brought it forward and pulls her out and honors her because she's honoring God. When at Christmas and Easter we take up the special offerings for our missionaries, both here in North America and internationally, we talk about the power of a penny. Where most of us are willing to let it fall on the ground and not even take the time. A penny's not even worth our effort to bend over and pick it back up and stick it back in our pocket a lot of times. But when you put enough of those pennies together, they can do great and miraculous things throughout missions and ministries throughout the world. See, when we offer up in a way that this woman did, in a way to understand that through God's provision, we receive all things and therefore we joyfully give back all that we have. Jesus in 22 tells us to, in Matthew 22, tells us to love our God with our whole, what? Heart, mind, body, and soul. Our completeness, everything. This is the offering that Paul talks about, is the living sacrifice, the perfect worship. This is the offering we are called to surrender our heart completely to God in all things. So I want to challenge you a bit. I want to challenge you to stop looking at the offerings that we take as just being Sunday morning and money-based, but an offering of your whole God, or your whole heart to God. to place your heart before the living Lord Jesus Christ and sit there and say, what I have is yours. Do with it as you will. I've got on a slide here, what you surrender your heart to is what you truly, or what is truly your God. So please make sure that God has your heart in all things. In the course of a week, you have 168 point some hours. How much of it do you dedicate to God? What are the provisions that he gives us? In a couple weeks when we cover, or about a month and a half or so down the line, when we cover the concept of generosity, we're going to talk about the true offering and what it goes to, because I believe you have a right to know that what your offering goes to, whether it's of your time, whether it's of your resources, your money, your housing, whatever that you may bring to God as an offering, what it goes to is your right to know what it's being used for. We try to be pretty open and clear about that. But that's not what we're here talking about today. We're talking about having a heart of offering. And to do so in a sacrificial way as this widow did, that Jesus honored and even called his disciples over to show that this is the meaning that you're to take from this message. Excuse me. Not the amount that you give, but where is your heart in God when you give it? Are you being sacrificial in this moment? Are you truly trusting that God will provide like Jacob? And are you being thankful and honoring that provision as Abraham was? Understanding that all that you receive comes from God, therefore, with a joyful heart, give back to God. Because if we lose that, if we lose the sense that that which we give is an act of worship, and it becomes just something that we do, it's the last thing in our mind, we don't honor God in it, we don't even give thought to it, we just do it. But it's not sacrificial, it's not with our heart, it's not in a place of obedience and subjection to the will of God, then we're missing the point. And it's not being an act of worship. So please, as this week continues and as you go on, as we talk more about worship and as we start to develop the concept of what it means to live a life of worship in all aspects, not just here on Sunday mornings, but what we learn here and taking it up and out throughout our week, I ask you to search your heart and who have you surrendered it to? Where have you put time and toil in building up treasure? Is it in the eternal grace and mercy of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, or is it in material things that rust and thieves and time will surely steal and take from you? Please stop trying to build this kingdom and place your heart in God's kingdom. For what your heart, or what you surrender your heart to, is truly who your God is. And the God of this world, or the gods found in this world, I should say, that we make into our gods are fecal, or fickle, sorry. They're the other one too, but we'll leave that one alone. That's a slip of a tongue, isn't it? Am I red yet? They're fickle. They're fleeting. And they're frivolous. They bring no glory to anything that matters, and tomorrow they'll be useless. Just as they were the day before you had them, they meant absolutely nothing in your life. They didn't drive your life in a positive way. But the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, that who we give glory to, who we understand to be so great, full of love and passion, compassion, grace, and mercy, that is where we place our heart, because that is eternal. That is above and beyond all that this world can bring us in joy, for we will carry that through eternity with us. So please surrender your heart to God and stop placing it along with all this rust and rot of the world. Place your heart in a God who loves you. Worship and offer yourself up as a living sacrifice. Amen.